Our question today on the broadcast is simply, how is salvation gained? And I want to make it very clear, by the use of the word gain, we don't mean that man by his own merit can gain heaven. We're actually conveying the idea of how salvation is attained or how we reach that goal. In Titus 3 and 5, Paul made it very clear to the evangelist Titus that he was to proclaim, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. But how is it possible for you and for me to make it to heaven? How is it possible in this life for us to overcome the difficulties that are before us to actually make heaven our home? You're aware of the fact that we often say, as the Bible teaches in Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If man continues on in the life of sin, as you well know from the teaching of the Bible, that the answer would have to be eternal death. For Romans 6:23 simply says the wages of sin is death. But then there's the other side of the coin. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we want to simply say, since all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that man, when he comes to an apparent age of accountability, is going to commit sin. He may undoubtedly realize that he has violated the principle of right. You see, people know a lot of things about right, even if they may not know how to overcome the evil that is about them. And so he becomes a sinner, and it's needful and necessary that he be relieved of that sin. Now, I want to make it very clear on the broadcast as we begin today that if man had anything within his own power, within his own being, that would cause him to save his own soul, then you see, people, we wouldn't need the death of Jesus on the cross. We wouldn't need the Bible. But man is, much like Paul spoke of the condition of sin in Ephesians chapter 2. When you read that first verse in that second chapter, and also, I believe, the fourth verse, you'll find that the idea is taught there by Paul that we are dead in sins. And a man expressed this to me one time who was a funeral director. He said, you know, I realize that when a person is dead, and you see that body in that casket, there's no possible way that that individual can resurrect himself. There's no possible way that he can come out of that casket by his own power. And so might we say, when man finds himself in sin, there is no way within his own power that he can save himself from that sin. Consequently, salvation could not become a reality. Christ made it very clear in John 14 and 6 as he was announcing to his apostles that he was going to leave them. No doubt you remember the wonderful scripture, if not by reference, you will by word. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So the point is simply this, that Jesus has offered the truth, which points to us the one way that leads to life and even to life eternal. In the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, we have a notable conversion, an account of conversion, regarding a jailer and his household. I'm simply going to break into the thought here by saying that Paul and Silas were put in prison. They were down in the inner prison. They were singing praises and praying to God at midnight. There was an earthquake that shook the prison. The prison doors were all open. The jailer was about to take his life. Paul said, do thyself with no harm, for we're all here. And then the book simply says, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And then in Acts 16:30, he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So there's the question. Are you asking it today? Maybe you haven't asked it orally, but I'm sure the thought has come to your mind time and time again. How am I going to get out of this state of sin? Notice the answer that's given by the apostle. Well, both Paul and Silas. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. So when we actually talk about how we're going to gain or how we're going to attain that heavenly home, it certainly has to be by belief. But someone said to me one time when this scripture was quoted, and I think they'd read it in a tract, they said, you know, how could this man believe on the Lord Jesus Christ if he already knew who Jesus was? If he already was acquainted with the gospel teaching, then he wouldn't have asked this question. Well, some have assumed that he was talking about his condition of being saved as far as the government was concerned. Well, these people hadn't escaped. So I'm sure that he was astonished they were still in the prison because those prison doors all went open. And that was a miracle, a man told me. He said, you know, in an earthquake, one door certainly would have got jammed, but they were all open. Now, I believe this man was talking about his soul. I believe he was talking about his salvation of his soul. And Paul just simply tells him to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But someone says, well, he doesn't know who Jesus is. Well, now the 32nd verse would tell us what is included in how one believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. Now you see, this person is going to be able to believe on the Lord when he believes on the word of the Lord. Here's an important point. We cannot disassociate Jesus from what he said. In John, the biographical record of the life of Christ given to us by the Apostle John, in the opening statement of that great writing, in John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now he's talking about Christ, and you'll notice that word is capitalized in the text. What he's telling us here is that when Jesus came down to this earth, he was the Word of God personified. Now, you can't separate Jesus' Word from who Jesus really is. Just like the foundation to the Christian life, a foundation of faith. But in Matthew 16:16, the Apostle Peter said that Christ was the Son of the living God. And it was upon this foundation in Matthew 16:18. That Jesus said, I will build my church. So everyone says, well, the church, the Christian life, is built upon the fundamental fact that Christ is the Son of God. That's true. But we do not disassociate Christ from what he said. So write this scripture down. Ephesians 2:20. We are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So you see, when we are built upon the word of the Lord spiritually, then we've got to go to the gospel. I'm asking you on the broadcast today, do you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ? See, Paul termed it by inspiration in Romans 1:16 and 17 as the power of God unto salvation, and that in that gospel was revealed what is right in the sight of God. So that's the word of the Lord. Now, do we believe it? Well, someone says, how are you going to prove whether a person believes a certain thing or not? He can say it with his mouth. But you see, friends, we cannot depend upon a statement simply by the mouth. God tells us in the Word that our faith is dead without our works or without righteous deeds of obedience or the action of that faith. So I may tell you that I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but I am duty-bound by what the Scripture teaches to prove that I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it isn't that we're telling God something, but our obedience to the gospel and our salvation is something that is to be a benefit to other people. If we, in a physical sense, according to Galatians 6 and 10, as we have opportunity, are to do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith, this basically is considered meeting the physical needs. But the spiritual part of man is more important than the physical part. What did Jesus say? What is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what can he give in exchange for his soul? Which is the more important, the soul or the body? Well, they're both important. But you see, the salvation of the soul. So we certainly, by our expression of faith and our faith working, will indicate to the world that we believe that Christ is the Son of God. So how were people converted? Well, let's take this right on, this conversion. Again, verse 32 of Acts 16, you may want to write this down. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord into all that were in his house. Now notice, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Now they had been beaten, that's Paul and Silas. But notice what he did. The same hour of the night, was baptized, he and all his straightway. Why was he baptized? Because Jesus had taught in the Great Commission, in Mark 16:15 and 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what he said. He said, "He that believeth not shall be damned." So if a person would never believe the word after it was heard, then he wouldn't go on to obey it. So what it's really saying in the Great Commission, what it's saying here, we know this man heard the word of the Lord. Did he believe it? We know that he believed it because he was willing to be baptized into Christ. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You know, we were having a study some time ago on a Wednesday night over at Bloomfield, Indiana, in Greene County, fine community in southern Indiana. And I mentioned that people will accept belief and they'll accept repentance as being essential. But both belief and repentance are linked together with baptism. He that believeth and is baptized in Mark 16:16. In Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now, when a person is baptized following his confession of faith that he believes Christ is the Son of God, which the Ethiopian did, then he puts on Christ. His sins are washed away, Paul said, according to Acts 22:16. So, how is salvation from sin attained? By hearing, believing, repenting, confessing our faith in Christ, and being baptized into Christ, and then going on to live faithfully. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. Revelations 2:10. Don't come out of the water of baptism and then stop. That's when you really begin to start in living for the Lord. Add to your faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. Peter said to do that in 2 Peter 1:1. Well, we're going to have to leave you on the broadcast, but I trust we've answered, at least in part, how salvation really is attained. Be with us next time. Be in the house of the Lord, and may God bless you as you follow the answer to the question, how is salvation attained?